The romance of marriage. My romance is so important in marriage, you can't leave out Eros, the physical, attractive side of marriage. It's a vital and important part of marriage, but it can't be overemphasized or over-magnified. And I want to give you today the third step in the love cycle, the first one being love and then courtship, dating, courting, being attractive to each other. And then the third is romance. When a couple falls in love, they begin dating or courting, and then they begin romancing, kissing. And I want to give you the definition of romance. Romance is the outward expressions of love through physical contact, such as holding hands, kissing, caressing, and love play in marriage. And here is a supreme secret to understand about romance, and that is men are aroused, their physical desires for affection and ultimately the ultimate expression of love in the home is aroused by sight. Women are aroused, they're stirred up, their desires and emotion, physical desires, are stirred up by touch. That is a very vital thing to understand. Men are aroused by sight, women are aroused by touch. That's why God says in the Bible in Matthew 5:28, for a man not to look on a woman to lust after, because he's aroused by sight. Most women, we're seeing a change in the attitudes in the world, and I believe it's partly because some women have given themselves over to the flesh in an inordinate way, an abnormal way that is not normal with women. But normally, men are aroused by sight. That's why God said for women to be dressed in modest apparel, because men are aroused by sight. And a woman who is immodest and causes a man to stumble, God said, offenses will come, but woe unto them by whom they come. But men are aroused by sight, but women are aroused by touch. Why does God say in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 7, for a man not to touch a woman? Because a woman is aroused by touch. And I want us to look at these two things. They're so important to understand. Why is it that everything that's advertised, from soup to nuts to whatever, is advertised by women in such a suggestive dress or position to cause men to look and keep looking, because men are aroused by sight? Why is it that there are dozens, as I've heard, that there are dozens of magazines like Playboy and these others, Penthouse and all? Because men are aroused by sight. I'm not even sure if it's still out. They put out one magazine for women called Play Girl, and I believe it went out of business. You see, women normally, this is not an average, it's not every day that women are aroused or want to look at men. In fact, very often women will say they're turned off by a man's nudity, because women are aroused by touch, and they have to be loved and kissed and caressed and prepared for this wonderful expression of love. God says in Proverbs 11:22, as a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Here's a woman who flaunts her body, who wears revealing necklines and miniskirts and tight dresses, and they stir up the emotions and passions of a man. Man's aroused by sight. Normally and most of the time, there are exceptions, and it's not that every woman who's ever tempted by a man, that she's got some kind of a perverted thing, but the normal thing is women are aroused by touch. You know, I wonder why women don't rebel at the way they are merchandised by Playboy and all these magazines. Why they don't get disturbed and bothered. They will get out and protest, and we had some women libbers who came to Jerry Falwell's church and got out and protested and marched and demonstrated. My, how they really just got all over Jerry Falwell because he was against the ERA. Well, we don't believe in equal rights. We believe in far greater rights for women, that they ought not to be made to fight in the trenches out here on the battlefields and a whole lot of other things. They ought to be respected and honored and looked up to, not brought down. The Virginia Thin Cigarettes says they've got the greatest commercial. If women only realize what they're saying, they say, you've come a long way, baby. Yes, you have. From the place where men honored and revered and respected you, and looked up to you and treated you as a lady, not as a punching bag or the objects of their lustful minds and all the rest. It used to be men would not have told dirty jokes or vulgarities or profanity in the presence of a lady. In fact, men, gentlemen, still don't, I believe. But men are aroused by sight. And here's a woman, and I say often to young girls, and I think women ought to teach their young girls, here's a girl, she wants to attract a man's attention. She goes out here and attracts some boy's attention by her revealing clothes. Then when he gets out on a date with her, he wants to go farther than she wants to go, and she wonders what's wrong with him. Or here she marries a guy, and she wonders why all he's interested in is her body. And I say, well, that's what you advertise. That's the thing you want him. That's the thing you appeal to him on, the basis on which you got him to look at you twice. What do you expect? No, we believe that we ought to be careful and do what the Word of God says, women to be dressed in modest apparel, because men are aroused by sight. Women, on the other hand, are aroused by touch. Women are aroused by touch. You know, Hollywood has given a big lie, as though they show on television and screens women as though they're panting and craving after this physical expression of love in the bed, which is nothing wrong. This wonderful expression of love kept in the bounds of matrimony is meant to be enjoyed. But you see, women don't have that natural craving and urges like a man has. Many times men don't understand it. And there are a lot of times women feel frustrated and frigid and failures because they don't have this craving. They wonder, what's wrong with me? Nothing. Here's a girl who's kept her mind pure and clean and tried to live for God and honor God and kept her mind the way it ought to be. It isn't easy for her to apply her mind, but she must, and she must understand that a man has to love and kiss and caress and prepare his wife for this wonderful physical expression of love. I don't agree with the Johnson and Masters tests and all their experiments, but they brought out one phenomenal thing, that the average length of men preparing their wives for this physical expression of love was only something like a minute and a half or 2 minutes. And women can't be prepared. This wonderful physical expression of love ought to be the results of a long period of love and kiss and caress and preparing all through the day. But here's a couple, and this is important to tell our young people today. Here's a boy and a girl. They get out in a car and they kiss and hug, and suddenly his hands falls on a part of a girl's body that's reserved for after marriage. And suddenly an emotion is stirred and aroused in her she's never had before. And she equates this with true love. This is real love. No, you just crossed over into the after marriage side of romance. You see, touch stirs up a girl and arouses and gets her to want this physical expression of love. Now, in marriage, a man needs to love and kiss and caress and prepare his wife for this wonderful expression of love. So many people have never understood that. So many men rush into this expression of love. They're aroused, their desires are stirred up, and they don't think about their wives loving, kissing, caressing, and preparing his wife for this expression of love. By the way, here's this couple that get out there, and this girl's emotions are now stirred up, and his emotions already been stirred up, and he says to the girl, prove your love. I say to the girl, you tell him, prove your love. Don't ask me to give up something so precious at such a cheap price. You see, it often leaves scars and wounds and bruises that never heal. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses from sin. But don't treat it lightly. And if you had that scar, you still have that scar. It may be keeping you from having a wonderful relationship with your husband because of guilt of the past. We need to walk by faith and trust God. Then when we confess that sin, he's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. God said, I'll remember it against you no more. And afterwards, we need to realize that marriage is meant to be enjoyed, and God wants couples to enjoy this expression of love in the home. So that couples need to understand that men are aroused by sight, women are aroused by touch. And I say to wives, submit yourself. Let him look, not feel guilty. Let him look for his benefit. You ought to tease your husband. You ought to entice your husband. I know a couple have been married 15 years. He had never seen his wife and completely undressed. She had such an ultra modesty. She never, that's abnormal. No, let him look for his sake, and then let him touch for your sake. For a woman to be aroused and to be prepared and be caressed and enter into this wonderful expression of love. God said marriage is honorable and bed's undefiled. It's meant to be enjoyed. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. If you're not familiar with this, I beg you listen to it. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. God said, let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. God said, enjoy it to the hilt. And there are a lot of women who hold back from their husbands, who do not let their husbands love them and caress them and prepare them for this wonderful expression of love in the home. It has to be responded to like God wants it to be. And if there's some inhibitions from the back past of your life, whatever it might be, maybe some man, somebody, some boy touched your body and took advantage of you in some ways, and that's built up a bad attitude in your mind toward all men even, you've got to get over that, and you've got to confess it, and you had no sin, and if somebody bothered you, but get it all out and put it up behind you. No, God said enjoy it. Be ravished with your wife's love. And that's talking about the physical expression of love in the home. So that we need to be able to respond. Two unpardonable sins in the matter of romance. Number one is for women to call their husbands a sex fiend or oversex, because he wants to caress and love. And every time he kisses his wife, he wants to put his hand on her body. That isn't to go to bed with. That's just a pouring of love into his wife. And she needs to understand that. Make it a part of real love in the home. And then the unpardonable sin is for a man to belittle his wife or to say something because she doesn't have the perfect measurements and to kid her even about it. Don't do that. Oh, let's be sensitive to each other and be responsive to each other. So here's an important thing to understand. It must be understood. Men are aroused by sight. And a wife needs to respond to her husband's needs to be satisfied with her and not have to be sneaking a look or anything else at somebody else. And then for the man to understand, he needs to love and kiss and tenderly prepare his wife for this wonderful expression of love. And that leads to the next thing in the love cycle, love, courtship, dating. A man needs admiration. The woman needs attention and these thousand little things that leads to romance. That man's aroused by sight. The woman's aroused by touch. That leads to sex, the physical expression of love. And I say sex is the highest physical expression of love, meant to be enjoyed by both, and to come to a full and complete satisfaction. Here's another very deeply important thing to understand. That is, men have a great strong need and drive and desire for sex. Women have a great need for security. Women give sex for security. Men give security for sex. That's so important. Oh, I hope we can get to the place that we don't look at sex like the world does, as some sinful, vulgar thing. God said, be ravished with your wife's love. God said in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That which is done outside the bounds of matrimony, yes, it brings guilt and brings conviction. Dr. James Rue, founder of the Sir Thomas More Marriage and Family Clinic, made this statement. Money is often given as a main source for family problems. The truth is, you don't find two people coming into court who have a happy, healthy sex life. God intended it to be enjoyed. God said, be ravished with, let her breast satisfy thee at all times. A couple came to see me who were a handsome couple. She was an extremely attractive woman physically, in her body, in her beauty. And she came in and I said, what is the problem? They were ready for divorce. And he blurted out and said, she thinks sex is vulgar. She's a fine Christian girl, but somewhere back in her life, her mind had been poisoned. Her mind had been poisoned by her mother, actually, that men were just beasts and her mother didn't enjoy it and she gave a bad attitude. Oh, that's so terrible. No, it's not vulgar. And we need to understand it. Here's another powerful statement I read somewhere. Somebody said the sex drive is the most powerful of human desires. So strong and impelling is the desire that a man will risk his whole career and reputation to satisfy this urge. There's many a woman who has come, her husband has kept his mind pure and clean and tried to keep himself reserved for his wife. He's coming at night and his wife has turned him off, said, oh, don't bother me, I've got a headache, and you're just a sex fiend or something else. Oh, dear lady, don't do that. And then he's turned off and he goes to work the next day and women in every kind of a suggestive dress and position, his mind is stirred and lust stirs up in his heart and it can't help but bring guilt feelings and bad feelings toward his wife who refused to be a wife to her husband. And so women need to understand that men had this strong drive and desire. I heard a statement, I don't know how valid it really is, but it was supposed to have been given as a result of tests, that the average man thinks about sex at least once every 30 seconds. That sounds phenomenal. You say, are men a vulgar and dirty mind? I don't understand it all, but men are aroused much quicker and much more and have much greater desires for all of that. And women need to understand it. Now, we need to understand, a man needs to understand that it isn't easy for a woman to give herself, and he has to love his wife and prepare her, and that this becomes a relationship that's the expression of love in the home, not just the fulfilling of physical desire. It has to be that outward physical expression of love in the home. In letters to Karen by Shedd, Dr. Shedd, he makes several phenomenal statements, and I want to give them to you. He said to his daughter who was about to get married, said, you're a prudent wife when you look on sex in part as your opportunity to be a blessing to your husband, to fulfill his needs. And then he said, you can have a mental enthusiasm for closeness even when your body is not enthusiastic in the same way as him. And then he said, the smart girls do not ration their husbands. That's so important. And then another statement, he said, your husband longs to believe that he's wonderful enough for you to yearn sometime for his sexual companionship. Oh, that's so important to understand. But a man needs to understand that it isn't easy for a woman to give herself to her husband and needs to make this such a tender expression of love in the home. Not just the rushing into his fulfillment of physical desire, but make it the tender expression of his love to her. And when he does that, she can respond. Now, a woman gets her security, her assurance of her husband's love, her assurance that she can give herself to him by his attention in courtship. I wish I could get that across to you. A woman gets her security, so she's released. Women are responders. Men are the leaders. Men are the initiators. And the man has to lead the way. He has to give his wife that assurance through tenderness and attention throughout the day that she can respond to his needs. And when a man understands that, he will give her that tenderness, that goodbye kiss in the morning, those thousand little things that says to that woman, you can trust me. You are important to me. I love you. You mean more to me than just to be a maid or a mistress. Now, 1 Corinthians 7 has an important thing for us to understand. In 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5, God said a man does not have the authority over his body, and the woman doesn't have the authority over her body. She doesn't have the power over her body to refuse her husband. God said, render to your husband due benevolence. And the whole context there is talking about this physical expression of love in the home. God said, don't defraud ye one another. God said, don't you deny one another. God says you're to respond to each other's physical needs. There are some times that men do not respond to their wives' physical needs. There are some wives who feel frustrated and neglected because of wives. Their husbands do not respond and give them that physical expression of love. Then almost never do the husband and wife have the same needs and the same desires and want this expression of love the same amount of time. We need to be sensitive to each other's needs and responsive to what each other need, so that we respond and don't cause either one to be left frustrated or whatever. Now, here's the unpardonable sin in this matter of sex or physical expression of love in the home. And her unpardonable sin is to refuse her husband or to ration him. To refuse her husband, well, I'm just, oh, don't bother me, and I'm tired, and whatever. No, God said, render to your husband. You don't have the authority over your body. Or to ration him for good behavior. Well, you got to do this. And he feels like he's having to be, you know, having to bribe his wife. And it's not that responsive relationship that it ought to be in the home. But then the unpardonable sin for the man is to be crude, to force his wife, to not have the right attitude, to ask what's wrong with her. No, there ought to be that love and appreciation of each other. Here's a great statement, two great statements. Somebody said, there are no cold women, only clumsy husbands. You read the books today. You don't read men, the psychologists and marriage counselors, talking about women being frigid anymore. No, we've realized that they've just not been loved, and men have not given their wives the attention and tenderness and those thousand little things that release her to give herself to her husband. And then here's another one for women to understand. Somebody said, the woman who understands man's nature and tactfully caters to it has no fear of other women. Oh, that's so important to understand. The woman understands that husband's drive and desire. She won't have the same needs for this physical expression of love, but she understands his and she responds to it. She won't have to worry about some other man, some other woman coming between them. Now, when that physical expression of love is responded to as it ought to, then it leads to the total fulfillment of love. The cycle is complete. Love, courtship, dating, romance, sex, love. It leads to the total love, true love. And true love is a balance of all three in the home. That physical attraction, that companionship, and then that agape, unselfish love. And the unselfish love in the home is, the unselfish love is fulfilled in that physical relationship when that wife gives herself to her husband. That man gives her the tenderness and the thoughtfulness and appreciation that prepare her for this wonderful expression of love. How can we have all of this? How can we do it? Well, there isn't but one way that you can have the total agape love to do what you ought to do to your husband and for your husband and for your wife. And that's to learn to walk in the Spirit. We've got to learn that. You and I'll never love each other as we ought to, our husbands and wives. We'll never love each other as we ought to unless we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I learned to walk in the Spirit. We see the works of the flesh are jealousy and hate and adultery and fornication and malice and envy and strife, all these things. And if those things are in your home, don't be foolish. Don't be so immature. Don't be so naturally carnally minded that you don't understand that that's the work of the flesh. You're walking in the flesh. And the only way that you're going to walk in the Spirit and have that love and joy and peace and have that relationship you ought to have is to learn to walk in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit? Well, I say there are two steps that we need to be consciously aware of. Number one, that we confess every sin. God said if we'll judge ourselves, it's awfully easy to judge everyone else. It's awfully easy to judge our wives and criticize our wives, criticize our companion. Well, if he would only do this. No, judge yourself. Are you the man you ought to be to your wife? Are you that loving husband? God said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And if you don't blame a thousand little old things that are going wrong. You just don't have the agape love. You see, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much we need to love our wives. Even with their imperfections, we love them. Your wife gave herself to you. Dear sir, she took your name. She gave up her name. She gave you that pure body one day. She gave you her body. Then you ought to love her. I am so aware of that. My precious dear wife, no man had ever touched her. And she gave herself to me one day. I honor her. I honor her. I respect her. And we need to do that. And you made a promise one day. You made a vow one day. You're going to love her for better or for worse, until death do you part. Oh, dear sir, in God's name today, I beg you, be a man of your word. Have character. And if your marriage is going sour or has been soured, wake up. You're the leader. You're the leader. You're the head of that home. You've got to lead the way spiritually. You've got to lead the way back to restoring that love that you once had. And it has to be worked at. It has to be worked at. You have to go back to courting. You have to go back to winning her affections. You've got to go back to doing all those things you did to win her affection, to get her to say, I do. Go back to doing those things. The truth of the matter is, I've been right there. The truth of the matter is, we all get shoddy and sloppy and stop doing those little things, and then our marriage grows sour or it gets on a strain and we want to blame the other one. No, you're the head of the home, sir. Lead the way. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. I'm going to make it work. For God's sake, for the testimony of Christ, for your children's sake, for your own reputation, for your own ministry. Your ministry will be cut short. You can't be a deacon. You can't be a preacher. You can't be used of God in the same way you were. If you go out and mess up this marriage, and it isn't real and sweet, God said you've got to have that right relationship, that your prayers be not hindered. And then, dear lady, respond to your husband. Learn to give in. Learn to do what you ought to do. God said, if we'll judge ourselves, have you been that wife to him? Have you been cutting him off? Have you been denying him? Have you sent him away frustrated? If we'll judge ourselves, admit our own faults. God said, confess your faults one to another. I don't mean that for one minute God means that we're to tell everything we've ever done or whatever. No. But admit, I'm wrong. I've been wrong. Honey, I have not been the husband I ought to be. I haven't been the wife I ought to be. If we'll confess our sin, God will forgive us. Whatever has been the problem, whatever has been the wrongs, you've got an unforgiving spirit, a bitter spirit, a resentful spirit, a vengeful spirit. That's sin. That's sin. Be honest about it. Grow up. You don't want your children to cover up, to alibi, and to go on and give you all the excuses on why they don't do what you tell them to do. Then don't do it to each other. Confess that sin. And then number two is control of the spirit. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Only the Holy Spirit of God can give us real love for each other. And we need to confess that sin that we've gotten, a bad attitude, a wrong attitude, or whatever it is. And then yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit lives in you. What? Don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Yield yourself. Let him take control. Let him get in the driver's seat. Let him get in the driver's seat of your life until he begins to produce real, unselfish, agape love. Hey, happy marriages don't happen. They're worked at. And today, if your romance and your sex life is not what it ought to be, yield yourself to God, and then obey the Spirit, and let God use you and direct your life and fill your life with that fruit of the Spirit. Learn to walk in the Spirit, depending on, consciously depending on the Holy Spirit to make you the man of God you ought to be.